We read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Let's go back there now. Matthew 6. Now, in this series on the theme of growing as Christians, we've seen we have to take responsibility. You have to take responsibility to grow as a Christian, just as you have to take responsibility to grow as a human being. You've got to feed yourself. You've got to look after yourself. And as Christians, we've got to do the same. We've got to take responsibility. We've got to rely not on others to make us grow, other people's prayers or other people like the minister preaching to us on Sunday or whatever. We've got to take charge of our own growth. And we've got to read God's word, the Bible, and we've spoken about that. And now we've been thinking about how to pray. We've got to pray. Jesus does not say, if you pray, he says, when you pray, verse 5. And we've seen already that the first thing that we need to see as we pray is what God is like. And we thought about that from the Lord's Prayer, verse 9 and 10, that God is a Father and that he is a King. And he is a God of a great name and a great character. And if we can just see that, it immediately makes us want to come to him. He's a Father, but also a great King. And he is good. But then last week we were thinking about how the Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray in a different way than we might otherwise pray. It teaches us to pray so that we center our lives on God. You know, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's like God is so great, so glorious, so wise, so powerful, so good, so rich in salvation, that nothing that we could possibly be or do would in any way be anything like as good. So why would we center our lives on ourselves and ask God just to serve our needs when we can center our lives on God? And that's what prayer ought to be. It is moving our will to line up with his will. And we thought about how the earth orbits the sun. It's us getting into orbit around God, his light and his life. But tonight I want to think about how we have to learn that prayer is about dependence as well. Dependence. So verses 11 to 13 are our focus tonight, where Jesus teaches us to pray, give us today our daily bread, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Prayer is teaching us to depend on God. And dependence upon someone else is not something that comes readily to the society that you and I live in. Because we live in a society where one of the great virtues is being independent. We hear about independence all the time. I'm not just thinking about political independence. That is, of course, really big on the agenda, not just in Scotland, but it's on the agenda all over Europe. Independence is the cry. This is what we need. If we only we were independent. But it's come out of a regarding of independence on a personal level as being a great virtue. And so people today want to be independent. They want to be not just politically independent, they want to be financially independent, they want to be personally independent, they want to be spiritually independent, and they want to be sexually independent. They want to be able to do their own thing, and the freedom to do it. So, virtues such as being an independent thinker are seen as a great thing. I'm an independent thinker. Or being of independent means. Or being an independent spirit. And against all that, Jesus teaches us that we need to depend. And that dependence is what prayer is an expression of. It's an expression of our dependence on God. Most people in our society don't pray because they want to be independent. And it takes a lot for them to get to the point where they might pray. Most of the time they feel sufficient to provide for themselves. They've got the resources they need to get by in life day by day. And only occasionally something will come along to their lives which is just too big, that they can't handle. Something, maybe an incurable disease, a threatening situation, a frightening situation, great evil, something that is just beyond the normal human experience. And only then, perhaps, will our independently minded 21st century Scottish citizen pray. But the follower of Jesus is the very opposite of that. The follower of Jesus prays all the time. Because verse 11 says, "Give us today our daily bread." The follower of Jesus doesn't pray occasionally. He prays, she prays, daily. And many times in the day, because to pray, as Jesus teaches us, is to live in dependence upon God. So what are the kind of things that you and I might need to depend upon God for? What are the kind of things that we really do depend on God for? Well, verses 11 to 13 tell us a few things that are really clear. And the first one is in verse 11, where it's, "Give us today our daily bread." And you think, well, is it bread that Jesus is really interested in? No, well, bread, of course, is a basic to the diet, and it certainly was very basic to the diet of Jesus' society. So what Jesus is saying is, you know, give us today what we need to live. That's what he's saying. So the first thing that you and I need to depend upon God for is life or existence. Without God, you will not live. You cannot live without God. And it doesn't matter whether people recognize that or not. You just don't live unless God upholds your life. God is the source of life. From God, life flows. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit must breathe into us the breath of life, moment by moment and day by day, or you and I will not live. If God were to withdraw his life from you or me, we would gasp and splutter and die. The flame of our lives would gutter, it would flicker, and it would be extinguished. And this is something that we seek to grasp and understand when we pray. I'm not coming to God because it's a nice thing to do. I'm not coming to God to do him a favor. I'm not coming to God because it's just a religious duty. I'm coming to God in prayer because I need God. My life is nothing. It doesn't even happen unless God gives it to me. Unless he gives me my daily needs, I will die. Sometimes we hear about people being on life support, and it may be that you have known someone on life support in hospital. And you know that but for the machine, the person will die. What Jesus is teaching us in the prayer here is that we're all on life support. You're on life support tonight. And if God chooses to withdraw his life support, you will die. And so we read together in James chapter 4, verse 15, where James says, the right attitude for people to have is not, well, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that, and in a year's time we'll do this, and we'll go and live there. And James says, no, he says, this is what you should say. If it is the Lord's will, we will live. James 4, verse 15. If it's the Lord's will, we will live. You see, there is a complete sense of dependence on God. Tonight, your life is in God's hands. You might say, well, it's in my hands, it's in your own hands. Yes, well, it is in your hands. You've got to actually eat the bread. You've got to actually take God's provision, but he gives it. And in fact, it goes on a deeper level than this. Because the Bible teaches, we'll actually sing this in a minute from Hebrews chapter 1, that God upholds everything by his powerful word. So that by the command of God, things exist. If God did not command your existence moment by moment, it wouldn't just be that you would die. You would just disappear. Remember how James puts it? He says, what is your life? He says, you're like mist. You're like a mist. I've got some mist here up in the pulpit. I thought maybe these young girls down there might like my mist. Or clouds, anyway. Clouds have all sorts of funny shapes. Do you like looking at clouds? Do you ever see things in clouds? What do you think that looks like? I'm not saying it looks like anything, you might just see. Yeah? A flying pig. That's great. It's a flying pig. Okay. Here's a different one. You might look up in the sky and see a cloud like this. What would you think it was? Has anyone else got one apart from Bethany? I did this in Portree this morning with the same clouds. And there was one girl in Portree that she saw everything. These boys, she... What? Yeah. Leah, what are you seeing? A what? A bunny rabbit. Brilliant. Yeah. Is that its tail there, is it? Yeah. Good stuff. And what about you, Bethany? Big feet. That's his feet and that's his cheeks, is it? Is he trying to eat a lot and store it in his cheeks like a hamster? This is a very sort of different kind of cloud. Don't know about this. You might see this cloud floating past. What would you see if that was a cloud? What would you imagine that to be? Bethany? Yeah, I see what you're saying there. I saw that myself a bit. An eagle's head. Yeah. Nathan's missed our clouds. We had some good clouds. So this is a bunny rabbit or a man with big feet and big cheeks. And this was a flying pig. And this is an eagle. You see anything else in there, Nathan? No? No? What are you seeing, Leah? This is a rabbit. Okay, you can explain that one to me later, okay? Well, you know what? If you're watching the clouds, which can be quite a lot of fun, you see something in the clouds. Maybe you see, oh look, there's a, looks like a lobster. Or you know, looks like a bus or whatever. And you see it, and then it changes shape, and then the cloud just disappears. Oh, where's the bus gone? Where's the flying pig gone? It's just gone. And the thing is, James says, that's what our lives are like. Just like the clouds you might see wisping along on the top of the Coolans, and you imagine you see shapes in them. We're like shapes in a cloud. And you see it for a minute and then it's gone. It vanishes, says James, because we're in God's hands. We depend completely upon God. And if God stops thinking about us, we'll just disappear. So how does this teach you and me to pray? Well, it teaches us to pray in a very dependent kind of way. You say to God, Lord, without you, I would die. Only you, Lord, know how to keep me alive. Give me what I need today to keep me alive. Thank you, Lord, that you think about me constantly. Lord, thank you that you live forever. Please keep thinking about me forever, that I may live with you forever. Prayer is an expression of complete dependence. When you pray, you need to feel that. You need to feel that dependence. You need to feel that you're coming to God because everything that you are and you have is from Him. You absolutely depend on Him for your next breath, for the next beat of your heart, for the resources that you need to live day by day, for your very existence. You need God to keep thinking about you and keep giving Himself to you and giving to you what you need. Prayer expresses that. Prayer is a sense of you're hanging upon God's every word, His every decree, His every command to sustain your life. There's something else though in this prayer that we depend upon God for, and it's forgiveness. The story is told of a missionary. And the missionary was approached by a man, and the man said to the missionary that he'd really been trying to find God. He wanted to find God, but he prayed to God and nothing happened. How much do you want God? Asked the missionary. What do you mean? Said the man. Come and I'll show you, said the missionary. So he led the man down to the beach and into the sea. And they paddled out into the sea and it got deeper and deeper and deeper until finally they were out of their depths and they had to tread water together. Suddenly the missionary reached over and grabbed the man's head and shoved him under the water. The missionary was stronger than the man and held him underwater for a whole minute, no matter how the man fought or squirmed or struggled. He couldn't get up to the surface again to get air. But after a minute, the missionary let go of his head and the man came up to the surface, took a great big gulp of air, and made his way back to the shore. When they got back to the shore, you can imagine how he spoke to the missionary. What do you think you're doing? Well, said the missionary, it's like this. How much did you want air when I was holding your head under the water? Well, he said, I needed air more than anything else. Air was the one thing that I needed. I had to have air. Well, said the missionary, when you want God as much as you wanted air when I was holding your head under the water, when you want God as much as you wanted air, you'll find Him. Now, I don't know whether that story is true. I can't remember who told it to me now. It maybe sounds a bit of a crazy way to spread the gospel or to teach people about God, but there is a truth in it, that's for sure. And it's a truth about forgiveness as much as anything. You have to want forgiveness. And you have to know that you need it more than you need air. Because there is something about forgiveness that is more important than anything else in your life. You could have everything in life, but if you don't have forgiveness, you do not have a relationship with God. And if you don't have a relationship with God, everything is going to be taken from you. But you could have nothing of this world's goods and resources. But if you have God's forgiveness, you do have a relationship with God. And because you have a relationship with God, you will live forever with God. You need forgiveness more than you need anything else in your life. And nothing else will compensate if you don't have it. And it doesn't matter how good you feel about yourself. And it doesn't matter even what your church says about you. It doesn't matter about what you think about life. If you don't have forgiveness, you're missing the essential thing that you need. There is such a thing as sin. Sin is against God. And if you don't have God's forgiveness for your sin, your future is bleak. Because you cannot know God's blessing on your life if you don't have God's forgiveness for your sins. And if you're trying to go forward in life without God's forgiveness today, don't be surprised if your life lacks God's blessing, and you will try everything else to make up for the lack of God's blessing. You'll try to get stuff, you'll try to do stuff, you'll try to be things and go places, and none of it will compensate if you don't have God's forgiveness. And it doesn't matter what the society we're living in today says. It's a confused place today. There is nothing that you need more than to be reconciled to God. You need the Savior. You need Jesus. And so Jesus is teaching us here in verse 12 that we need to pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's something that we need to pray more than anything else. We need forgiveness more than we need air. We depend upon God for it. And it's in that sense of dependence upon God that we should pray for our lives and for His forgiveness. And also, finally, for righteousness. And that's what verse 13 is about. Verse 13 is really saying that we need to live a righteous life, and it's asking that God will help us to do that. Now, it's a strange thing in verse 13 that it begins with this request, lead us not into temptation. You can't imagine God leading you into temptation, can you? In fact, the Bible says God never does that. So why does Jesus put it like that? Well, it's just a figure of speech. Maybe a wee bit strange to us, but Jesus, of course, is meaning the opposite. He's saying, God, don't lead us into temptation. And what he's saying is, Lord, lead us into righteousness. If you don't lead us into temptation, then what you're going to do is lead us to righteousness. And that's what Jesus is actually teaching here. Lord, please lead me into righteousness. And deliver me from the one who would take me away from being righteous, the evil one. Now, today in our society, it is getting harder and harder to be righteous. And this is going to become, I think, a very serious challenge for every single person in the Church of Christ, if you're going to be serious about this or not. There have been a few things this week that have, if you've been thinking about them, probably challenged you deeply. about your view of where society is at and what righteousness really is. We have heard, of course, about the Church of Scotland Assembly and its decisions, bizarre decisions, to say that it approves of traditional marriage between a man and a woman according to the scriptures, but it also says that you don't need to believe that in the church, you can believe something else, and it's okay to have a minister in your pulpit who is married to someone of the same sex or in civil partnership with someone, and the marriage bit will come along in a year's time. And that's bizarre. It's like saying something's right and something's wrong at the same time. But it's not surprising to take that view, because it seems to be the way that many in the Church of Scotland want to mirror society. And we got a very clear view of where society's at this week from the vote in Ireland about gay marriage. 62% of those who voted in Ireland backed gay marriage. And that gives us an indication of where society's at today. Notwithstanding the strong church background in that society, that's how the vote went. I don't think it's much different in Scottish society. Our moderator said this week in his address that no country in the history of the world has secularised as quickly as Scotland has in the last 20 years. In the time I've been in ministry here, Scotland has shifted away from any kind of foundation upon scripture or Christianity, and has just chosen not really to have any foundation. It's chosen to liberalise, it's chosen to secularise, it's chosen to drift. And the Church of Scotland, by a majority, is choosing to drift with society. That's not the role of the Church. The role of the church is not to be like society. Jesus was not like the sinners he was trying to save. You hear a lot of rubbish said about Jesus by people in the Church of Scotland who say, well, he was all about love, and Jesus would have allowed this, he'd have liked this, he'd have been delighted with this vote, etc., etc. No. Have you read the Gospels? He was a friend of sinners, but he was without sin. Let me put it simply like this. If a big ship starts to sink out in the Kyle here, the Kyle lifeboat will be called. And the lifeboatmen will go out and they're launched to the ship. What will they do? Will they all jump off the lifeboat onto the ship that's sinking and say, we want to be with you guys while you're sinking in the ship, and go down with the ship and drown with the people? Because that's what the Church of Scotland, by a majority, is saying just now. Guys, we want to be with you. We want to affirm your lifestyle. We want to stand with you. And what they're doing is they're jumping off the church. They're jumping out of the rescue craft and they're sinking with the ship. And the issue is not about homosexuality here. The issue is about sin. It's like, what is sin? And I say, well, it's fine. And it'll be another issue next year, and it'll be another issue the year after that. But the role of the church is to be righteous. The role of the church is to walk with God. The role of the church is to have an alternative lifestyle to offer to people when they realise that their ship's sinking. The role of the church is to come alongside the sinking ship. Say, we want to come alongside you folk, but we're not going to jump into the ship with you because you're sinking. Come out of your ship into our rescue craft. We want to call people out. That's what the word church means in its Greek form, ecclesia. It means the called out. We want to call people out of being lost with the rest of society into a place of salvation, a place of righteousness, a place of standing in a relationship with God, no matter what society says. And to do that, you've got to resist the temptations and you've got to stand against the evil one in your life. And it's not easy, and it's getting harder, and it will get harder still. But we need to do it, not just for our own sakes, but for the sake of the society we belong to. Because if the church silences the gospel by mimicking and mirroring what's happening in the world, there won't be a gospel in Scotland, and Scotland will go down as a nation. And so what we need to do is pray along the lines of this prayer: Lord, please, God, lead me in the paths of righteousness for your own sake, and deliver me from the evil one, so that I and so that we can walk with you, so that we can show to our country a better way. Because believe me, what we're seeing is just the beginning in our country of the fruit of unrighteousness. As our country loses its moorings and becomes more and more unrighteous, along with unrighteousness always goes misery. There will be abuse, there will be dishonesty and distrust, there will be exploitation, there will be inequality, and the church needs to be alongside in a position where it can call people out of that into forgiveness and salvation and righteousness and eternal life. And the only place we can get these things is from God. We depend upon him then tonight in prayer to help us to live in the way that will help our society in its increasing need and lostness. And finally, if God does not do that, if we do not seek these things from God, then what will happen? Well, just step back from the end of verse 13. First of all, we will not be delivered from the evil one. The evil one will attack us. And then at the beginning of verse 13, we will fall into temptation. We will fall into temptation, and because we've fallen into temptation, we will sin. We will succumb to temptation and we will sin. But if then, verse 12, we don't know what forgiveness is, we will not be forgiven for our sin by God. And then verse 11, if we don't seek God for our daily needs, we will run out of our own resources and we will die. We will die without bread and we will die in our sins. And if we die in our sins, we will go to hell. Because we have chosen to be independent from God, and God will give us what we've chosen. If we've chosen to be independent from God, that is, we don't ask for our daily bread, we don't ask for forgiveness, we don't ask to be led into righteousness, and we don't ask to be delivered from evil, but we seek to depend on our own resources and to spurn what God could give us, God will leave us to our own resources, and that is what the Bible calls hell. And we will be without God, hungering and sinning and never satisfied and burdened with guilt and self-condemnation at the mercy of the evil one, and he has no mercy, under God's wrath. And so we pray tonight for God to deliver us from that, and for God to position us as Christians to be of help to our nation. We pray, God, please, give us what we need to live. Forgive us and deliver us so that we can live in a way that we offer salvation to our nation, which is in such dire and great need. And pity the man, pity the child, pity the young person that doesn't pray for these things. And let us pray for these things for them, that God may show mercy in our nation, because we depend upon Him. We cannot live independently from Him. We depend upon Him, and prayer is an expression of our dependence upon God. Amen.